Thanks for choosing this teaching from The Elijah List, a prophetic ministry to the body of Christ. For more information about The Elijah List, including how to order or download other prophetic teachings by well-known speakers and teachers, the quarterly magazine Elijah Rain, music CDs or MP3 downloads, or to view our great selection of books and the many other prophetic resources we offer, visit our website, ElijahList.com, or call toll-free 866-ELIJAH-LIST. That's 866-354-5245. Or outside the U.S., 541-926-3250.
Thank you, Sandy. Is it okay if I have some more fun? My father found those discs in a garage, a barn, in Coopersville. Bells like this were also in the barn. Those bells my father gave to me, and they were stolen on my honeymoon in New York City. My dad found another set. I was in Florida accompanying him in a big musical concert. He played them for the last time, and he came over and handed them to me. And he said, "My arms are too sore and too old to play these. These are yours." And he gave them to me. And I have to play them because they're hard to hold. They weigh 16, 17 pounds apiece. It's a tough one of these things to rehearse, because if I rehearse a couple times, I can't play them. They're too. So I'm working on new muscles in my forearms, okay? They're tricky. You got to remember 8 things, and this is going to be Jesus Loves Me. But I have to remember that C is the left hand down. I get a C bell. D is the left hand up. E is in. F is out. G is down. A is up. B is in. And C is out. Oh, that's easy. Well, we're going to see a demonstration of higher bandwidth right now. The song, Jesus Loves Me. And if you know that, you know it all. That's the starting place for wisdom, knowledge, and upper bandwidth. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Go for it. We're going to let him restart that here in a minute. You'll get it together back there. Those frequencies, they'll all line up. I call those electrons to obedience. Go. Times I really feel 67 years of age in my arms. Well, my clock says it's 10 after 3. I'll try my best. No promises. Somebody can turn me off if I go too long. One of the reasons I think I enjoy teaching is A, you came expecting. You came wanting. Your face and your body language and your spirit have said to me, fill me up. And I hope you're not like the little old Pentecostal preacher's wife that heard the lady at the altar, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me. And she said, Lord, don't do it, she leaks. I hope you're trying to remember. All matter has memory. Your words are being recorded. I've taught this so much in what I've already said that I don't know that I have to spend a lot of time on the point. I know that there is a vortex, a swirling mass of potential, of energy, that absorbs what goes in the wall. Scientists found this, Edison patented this, and didn't know how to use it. It was called the photoelectric effect. He found that you could shine a light on certain things and you could measure electricity coming out of the thing. Photons went in and electrons came out. Some of us figured out many, many years later you could do that with a laser signal. And when a photon goes in, burst of energy or no burst of energy, so it was really on and off, into a photodetector, a photocell, that you could encode all the information to make a picture or to make software or to make words or to say speech. Slice a second of sound, about 88,200 times a second. Excuse me, 44,200 a second. I was referring to the first test we did where we doubled it. 44,200 slices a second is the sound of digital audio. That's what your CD player plays. That's what the chips and most of the synthesizers do. But 44,000 slices of matter having memory isn't the full story. There's much more information in a second of sound than 44 slices, 45,000 slices. So I put together a team, software, hardware designers, reinvented a computer, made it work on Microsoft Windows 2000. We did that because there was a lot of other software being developed all over the world to teach music. To teach music. The Vancouver Interactive Piano was tied to the internet. And you can put discs in it. And you can sit at the piano and listen to the disc and listen to the display and watch somebody on the screen do it right. And it could interact with you and children could learn to read music with artificial intelligence. And I was the first to say that you don't learn from a machine. You learn from the intellect and the spirit of a teacher. So we had teachers that were going to be available online, that you'd start with the disc, and the child interacts with a real person. It was all memory in matter. But I recognized that there were 44,200 slices wasn't enough. A real violin has much more. A real trumpet, a real singer, analog, continuous. So we learned to slice the second of sound even faster. 850,000 slices. More information, higher bandwidth, better sound. But the vortex of energy that's in a wall, photons go in from lights, from the sunlight, into all matter. Certain kinds of zinc and certain kinds of metals have more free electrons. And they're more efficient, but all matter ejects electrons when photons go in. Your skin does it. A piece of newspaper will do it. Take a newspaper and lay it in the sunlight. And the clay that makes it white is made up of electrons. Photons go in, knock the white clay electrons out, and it'll turn yellow. Leave it there long enough, it'll get brittle because it was made from wood. And the electrons that we put in paper to make it paper, the electrons can be ejected if you put enough light in it. Sunlight will do it. Happens to your skin, unprotected, standing out in the sun. That shield called the Van Allen belt is not what it was when it had its higher bandwidths. It's decayed over time. Don't believe that we're getting better. I'm sure it's getting worse. In the beginning, they had absolute protection. We're losing even God's designs for protection over our globe. Plants aren't growing like they used to. What have we done to the soil? Plants aren't growing like they used to. What have we done with the air? Plants aren't growing like they used to. What have we done to the water? And worse, we throw chemicals at the frequency of light of the plants in the name of defending them from the bugs or fertilizers to make it grow without enough testing and without enough knowledge to know how to fix it with the real problem being fixed frequency. A rice machine that I talked about a little while ago is frequency. You can tune those frequencies to the body, and the body gets restored. Ray Hughes had that ringing in his ear. Sat in front of the machine 5 minutes, and the ringing went away. Didn't take a pill, didn't throw chemicals at it. Fixed a frequency problem with frequencies. God's going to raise up an army within the church. But then alternative medicine. I'm talking to some of them in this room right now. You have in your acquaintances, you have in your family, you have in your congregations, people that are already talking about frequencies. You're looking at a man that is more concerned about frequencies for health and healing than I am frequencies for communications. Now that we've communicated into the Van Allen belt, 25,000 miles or more. Now that I've done all the work I ever intend to do to record with lasers and play them back in the orchestra and the octagon that found their way all the way to the military, I have one more scientific test and challenge ahead of me to play those little pieces of steel back. Within 30 months, the Lord will allow me the desire of my heart. He's found the man that's determined. He's found the man that's informed. He's found the man that's focused. And the judges won't ask for your opinion or your memory. They'll ask for your diamond ring. You won't have to say what you saw. They'll see what you saw because it was recorded. And as soon as the church understands that the spiritual bondage that we function under is tied to curses and memory and history in the past. What do you think that row right there is about? Those ladies have heard God from the application side. I've heard God from the scientific side. There's no conflict between science and the Word of God. Science can explain what the Bible claims. And when it can't, something's wrong with the science. It's not wrong with the Word of God. Oh, I like to say that at Cornell. They asked me to come after somebody from Cornell wrote the 300-year history of the piano, and the Smithsonian put on a 3-year show at the Smithsonian for the history of the piano, which was 300 years, and we've had pianos. Dr. Trevor Pinch from Science of Technology and History school that's inside of the Cornell University. It's a school. The Science and History of Technology. It's a school. He's the dean of that school. He wrote the story of the piano and found Bob Moog and David Van Kuvering. And I like to say Bob Moog used to call it, they should have called it the Moog and David story. Well, they ended up calling it Analog Days. And I had a comment on that. They should have called it Analog Days. D-A-Z-E. And it started with the Moog synthesizer and it ended with the Vancouvering piano, which was the future, in their opinion, of the piano. I was honored and pleased and blessed. But all of that could only be done because we had substances that could remember. Remember that little chip I showed you that Michael Dell put his name on? He's so proud of it. It was developed in Israel. After one of the Coeur d'Alene conferences, taking a quantum leap, a precious Jewish couple that were true worshipers, Messianic Jews, live in Israel, she wrote the software for the future of that chip. Some of you have my book that's on the table with a little stone in the front of it from Israel. That stone was cut that size because I import floor tile for Jerusalem, cut at Shechem, where Joshua said this stone is heard. There's a quarry that makes floor tile for Jerusalem. You can't put down other floor tiles. You've got to use Jerusalem stone. That's a rule they got. Can't build a building out of anything but Jerusalem stone. Did you know that? They're trying to preserve this stone has heard. And it's a rule. They don't want new materials in an old city. They want old materials in the new city. And we buy the slate, or this stone, the sandstone, and we cut it up, and it just works out that it comes that size. God has got a convergence going on and a synchronicity going on. That if you live in the wavelength of God and the Holy Spirit, you find yourself in phase with many things. That couple in Coeur d'Alene, he came up to me weeping after one of my teaching sessions when I was talking about matter having memory. And he slipped me the prototype. That's the first one that worked. He slipped it into my hand. And he said, we just determined that the optimum size for the chip that has no moving parts, no magnetic energy, and needs no electricity, is the same size as the stone that's in your book. And he gave it to me. Little chip. He said, this is the future of the hard drive for the quantum computer. Now, those of you that don't know it, your computer's obsolete. Some of you guessed it. Moore's Law is really true. Every year you pay half as much for twice as much. Every 18 months. They have quantum computers that are coming. That machine that I told you is up there at that electronics lab, free electron lab, in Vanderbilt, in Nashville. They got a room-sized machine that makes man-made diamonds that are so small, they're only 2 or 3 atoms wide. And they pile those atoms up and they make a little pyramid-shaped source of energy. And they can charge that source of energy because it's been entangled with the chip over here. Or over here. Or over here. And you don't need wires between them. When you change the angularity of spin of this one changes. And the wires, what cause the heat, even inside of the chips, that burn off if they get much smaller than a few atoms wide. They have a computer coming called the quantum computer. The little beams of light flash around inside of it. Isn't that interesting? Did you know your beams of light, the light that's set on a hill, you are a creature of light? Paul told you in Ephesians to walk as a child of light. This will blow your brain. It'll blow your mind. The fuses will pop. Your cells talk to each other with little beams of light. Isn't that interesting? When an atom nucleus changes its energy, one of the elements of the atom changes orbit. When it changes orbit, it goes from a quantum leap of this position to that position without going to the positions in between. It doesn't have to go to all points across, to get your body out of here. You got to be careful that you don't bump into other bodies. So you go at every space of the trajectory to get out of here. God's wisdom coming into you is at all points across His trajectory. The little atomic structures, subatomic structures moving faster than light are at all points across their trajectory. Because it's the mind of God causing them to be in all places at one time. When that little orbit changes and it goes from here to there, that's called a quantum leap. And the energy difference shows up as a little beam of cosmic light. Quantum light. Inside your cells. Saying, I need more of this to the system. I need more of that to the system. You guys are getting it. Your brain is telling your spirit, I need more of what Vancouvering's talking about. I need my quantum leap. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to go at all points across the trajectory to get there. You don't even need logic sometimes. Spirit just knows. Steve Schultz had it absolutely right. You don't have to understand it. You'll get it. You said what I said. This stuff isn't taught. It can be taught. I struggled to teach it. Struggle's not the wrong word. If you could just find out what I'm going through up here to try to find the word that'll make you grin. Not as in humor. But let you grin as in I get it. Thank you for letting me know when you get it. I evoke that. I do it deliberately. Good teachers and communicators know that. You do it when you teach and you minister. See, the Holy Spirit has already hooked me up to you in your desire before you got here. So we're communicating without wires. At frequencies of need and know. So that you can know and fill a need. Oh, I hope you followed that. This knowledge isn't for you only, Pastor. Your teaching will change. In Jesus' name. Would you put your antenna up? Go ahead. Look at those antenna. I'm talking about that preacher back there. Turn around if you got to look at him and aim your antenna at his antenna. We're going to speak to his future messages. We're going to go there. We're going to give him the upper bandwidth by the Holy Spirit to speak with new vocabulary. And I'm not talking just about unknown tongues. I'm talking about a vocabulary that's going to help you communicate. Hayes, Kansas, you're going to change in Jesus' name. Say with me, church, in the name of Jesus. We express our desire and we give forth our faith to see this pastor and his church completely set free of religious domination, of wrong terms, and to find the new way to talk about assignment, wisdom, full knowledge of faith. Understanding of God potential. And causing change to come into that congregation's life. In Jesus' name. Now what you just did is not a religious ritual. If that's all you did the next time, and you didn't have that intent, and you didn't have that emphasis, and it wasn't coupled with the desire rolling off this stage and from all these people, that could become a religious icon. The Catholic Church had something right in the beginning when they knew that a bead had memory. Church of Christ had something right when they realized that communion needed to be every Sunday. But if it's lost the reality of its truth, and the quantum dimension is not understood, it becomes brass tinkling. Becomes a religious icon, a religious habit. There was a reason they built their churches aimed in a certain direction. They knew how to put them even on ley lines. Oh, I know most of you don't like the concept of ley lines. That's too deep into that unseen reality to go. There will be meters that will display the reality of ley lines. In the few flashes of quiet that I've had since we talked this morning, circuitry is bubbling up inside of me that I can't. I'm not going to go to I can't. I'm going to go to I will. You just saw a quantum correction flowing right out about this very transparent young man. I'll build those meters. I can put that team together. My sister needs them. Every other minister that wants to identify, this is a special place designed by something more than mankind. And it's been used as a counterfeit by those who kill, steal, and destroy. And the lies that come from that source. Satan's power is not his power. He's using your power by thievery. You have the power to observe and cause. He doesn't. Get it. He lies to you. You fall into phase with him. Whose power is he releasing? It's not his. It's yours. It's mankind's. These Satanists are using their power because they've listened to I. Because the church hasn't demonstrated the truth. Oh, I hope you get that. If you don't get that one, you missed why I came here. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to prove a set of ideas. I got over that a long time ago. I know when I'm right. And I know when I'm right with the Holy Spirit. I know when I'm right with the Word of God. I know when I'm right with science. Some of you have been passing through some of these books over here. You won't get a lot of truth out of that stuff. You've got to have revelation. You've got to have the Spirit of truth. Then He'll confirm what's right and wrong in that stuff. If you go on Google without that Spirit of truth, you're walking onto dangerous territory. I don't know what you're feeling right now, but I know what some of you are feeling right now. Holy Spirit's right down to the pay dirt. This is the stuff you've been digging for. This is why you came. You've got to see this unseen world. You have to know that Jesus Christ is speaking you into existence. You have to know that matter's got memory. You have to know. Because with that authority, and just a little bit of that knowledge, you'll know your words are being recorded. Not to get rid of the junk that's been recorded, that's important. That stuff will curse your home, it'll curse your wallet, it'll curse your job, it'll curse your kids. It has cursed your city, and it's cursed our nation. Truckers coming in with no license, coming in with a bad attitude, cursing all the way across the middle of our country with no sovereignty or no dignity to our nation, coming under a bunch of illegal acts that were called legal and are supposed to be legal. You never did anything about it. You never had a chance to speak your democratic voice about it. Nation is carrying curses it doesn't deserve. Well, some of us are upset about it. I will take that rod at every border. I've been loading stones for a long time. You've been helping me load a few of them right up here. I'm going to place those stones in strategic lines that somebody thought was important. It was the border. As soon as we can get the devices to find those ley lines, we'll finish page 2. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody in here is going to learn how to speak to stones and plant them strategically. I love to go to antique shops. I'm looking for books. I'm looking for musical instruments. You know, I got the largest collection of LP electronic music records that is. I got 15, 20,000 LPs. I'll leave here and go home after 5 weeks on a row and I'll have a couple hundred more. First thing I do when I recognize that it was done with an instrument that I helped invent or the industry I helped create, I pick it up and talk to it. I probably knew the guy that made it. Probably sold him his first equipment. And I dismiss his intent. And I dismiss his words. I know he's a fallen psalmist. He was made to do what these men are doing. He was made to praise the Almighty High God. And he knew that matter had memory. He spoke his memory through his music that'll take you someplace. Careful. So I dismiss all that. I want to hear what he said musically and let the Holy Spirit give me a burden and a passion for him because he's still a fallen psalmist. And some of them that we've been praying for and one of them that met with us at the Smithsonian when Bob Moog went up there with me, by their request, I put a Vancouverian piano on display. Bob Moog had a Thurman and a Mini Moog on display. And I don't know if you know who Keith Emerson is, but Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, one of the great rock groups of all time. How many remember who Emerson, Keith, oh, come on. See, you're showing your age. Awesome fallen psalmist. He got saved. He's now a psalmist. Woo! He got his bandwidth restored. He got plugged into the source of who he is. Rick Wakeman. Anybody heard about Yes and Rick Wakeman? Rick Wakeman got saved. Isn't that great? Now, most of them came from the church. Stevie Wonder did. Stevie Wonder was from the church. Guess what he's doing today? He found his roots. I built him an instrument called a Liberation. It was a mini Moog on a stick. He said, I want to get out and dance with the guitar players. He's blind. Okay. So I don't want to sit behind my grand piano or my Hammond organ or my Fender Rhodes or my big mini Moogs and all the other stuff. I want to take the power of the Moog and dance with the guitarist. And he did. Had that liberation for a number of years. And when I gave it to him, I said generically that I often say about the stuff that I build, lasers included, you may buy it, but it's not yours. Meaning that it belongs to posterity. My antiques are not mine. Oh, I own them, but I don't own them. That collection is a very special set of artifacts. They've been cleansed. They've been set free. My musician friends come to my house, and some of you will. You will come to my house. I will it that you come to my house. And Becky's learning to understand it. I can say that because she's not here today. I think she's making books. But the point is that those artifacts are not mine. They belong to something bigger than me that is timeless. And that's important. I'm one of those old-fashioned guys that old dwellings are important. The old stones in that cabin and around that cabin where I'm staying are precious. They got petroglyphs on their property. Ancient carvings in the stones. And then I show up and I start seeing the past. I thought visionaries went the other way. You're supposed to see things that are not yet. It works both ways. This is an ambidextrous universe. That's another series. You can go back. You will go back. You're going to go back with a whole new understanding of the past. You're going to go back to your home, your city, your stuff, your job, all the doorknobs in your life. And you're going to know that you've got an authority that you didn't know as clearly before. You can't enter a room without speaking to that room before you get there. Oh, you do it all the time. But you're getting fixed. The great Frank Lloyd Wright had a lot of statements that he was a Unitarian. I don't agree with all of their theosophy. But he had a lot of things right. He said, a door is not what separates me from the other side. A door is something that should prepare me for the experience on the other side. Frank Lloyd Wright put all the decoration at the top of the door, the top of the room, and the skylights and the lights and the ceilings. Didn't have a lot of trim around the bottom of the room. He knew something about bandwidth. He knew something about having an elevated spirit. And you can change a room that's had a devalued spirit. That you walk through that door with expectancy for blessing. Next time you walk through a hospital door, I hope you remember that. You walk into the room with the only hope that's going to come through the door unless another of the bride of Christ shows up. You notice I didn't make that broad enough to make all those doctors that walk in there to be right. I would have if I believed they were. But I know they're not. My stepmom called me the other day weeping. She said, Dad's having all kinds of conflicts in this rest home where he's at. They've changed his medicine again. So I put my foot down. I called that head medical advisor. I said, we left explicit instructions that Dad was not to have any medicine. We don't want any medicine. She said, I'm sorry, Mr. Vancouver. We didn't know. Somebody made a change in his medicine. And I said, as gentle as I could, I wish you'd get your act together. And he took him off the medicine, and he's back to normal. And I got a stepmom that's grinning over the telephone. I can see her grinning over the phone. Oh, somebody's getting something out of that. Matter has memory. Words are being recorded. Page 6. Something like Gerald Feinberg's tachyon exists in all matter. Now, he's the guy that took the formula that said there's a subatomic particle moving faster than light. The point at which it gives up all its energy, it appears at all points across its trajectory. And the physicists were sure that that formula in Einstein's photograph of a blackboard was wrong. He'd been a student with Einstein. Columbia University in New York hires him. They give him the assignment to find the artifact of error in an earlier blackboard that led to this wrong mathematical conclusion. He couldn't find the error. He tested it with a Cray computer. They found the math was just perfect. So he came to the conclusion, there is something that moves faster than light that's in our cosmos. A scientist. Happened to be a Jewish scientist. Something from the Word of God clicked inside of him. Something from his heritage worked inside of him. The Holy Spirit gave him that idea. Something moving faster than light. And of course, as we move forward in the next 10 years, he was shot at over and over and over. They couldn't find it because the computers set for the test couldn't find a result. If you're looking for something faster than light, it's basic, it's elementary. It won't show up at 12:01 if you start at noon. It's going to show up at 11:59. The computer's going to have to count backwards. And our computers don't. You're going to get an effect before a cause. And that blows the physicist's mind. We live in a cause and effect world, according to them, not according to Jesus. Jesus said, you can have a cause before, you can have an effect before the cause. You can say to this fig tree, you're cursed. You can say to this mountain, you're cast into the sea. And cause and effect can run backwards in the cosmic realm. You can know something before you're supposed to. Don't tell me I don't know something before I'm supposed to. I can be in a crowd at a university like Cornell University, and the Holy Spirit was so strong on me when that guy that wrote the book about Moog and David's story, Analog Days, asked me to come and speak. I did. At the end of a 40-minute session of me doing what I do, just like I do it here, they had a conference going on back there with a bunch of the physicists. And one of them speaks up and boldly says, will you go another 40 minutes if we can ask you questions? And I said, yes, I'll give you another 40 minutes after that if you'll give me the right to ask you some questions. And in error, they took me up on the deal. So I let them fire away. And I had a God answer every time I needed a God answer. When we got through, I asked them the thing I talked about, the puppy jumping. If it all happened by accident, how come we can't take shovels full of Rolex parts? We don't even have to ask where they came from. And shovel them into a cement mixer and get watches to fall out. Well, you're telling me that from nowhere came a gaseous mass and all of this just happened. Where's nowhere? Who caused the gaseous mass? Oh, they say from nothing came a star or whatever. I got a problem with that kind of faith. That's a whole lot more faith required than to read the Word of God and know in my heart that I've been delivered from sin. Or to have a challenging problem in my consciousness, technical, and I need to see a circuit. And God gives it to me. Where do you think 636 patented concepts came from? What do you think your creativity is? Don't pull that fraud Freud on me. I'm not going to believe it. Didn't come out of your subconscious. Freud was a fraud. You're not that good. And if you listen to his teaching, you're not that bad. There is a sinner. There is a Satan. There is a demonic negative force. And what you do isn't all your mama's fault. Oh, some of you haven't read Freud, I can tell. David, you've gone to meddling. Today it's not difficult to believe that matter has memory because most of us have those tiny memory sticks. Showed you one last night. Information flowing into matter and recalling it is commonplace. Photons carry that information into the wall. Page 6, third paragraph. This is where yesterday went. Your yesterday got recorded. It's in your stuff if you didn't know. And the yesterday before that, and all grandma's yesterdays, and all those curses, and all that generational stuff, it's not wandering around in some Zulu land someplace, or some abstract, altered consciousness of some spirit wandering around. I'm here to proudly announce there are no ghosts. There are no loose spirits wandering around in ancient houses. There could be some demons hanging out. There could be some devils, copies of Satan himself, that he infested into the fallen angels. They could be haunting you. They could be messing with your spirit. I had a little Chinese boy, some of you heard me talk about him. I was on an island out in the South Pacific. We'd gone over to teach there Japanese family or Chinese family had this 18-year-old kid. He was a mute. Couldn't talk, couldn't hear. Mama said he's full of demons. They torment him all night long. And I knew he was quite intelligent by looking at him. You can see it. And I'm reading his mail. Oh, what an insight. I said to Mama, I said, is he on a computer? She said, he's on a computer. I said, do you follow and track wherever he goes? She said, I'm almost embarrassed to. I said, yeah. Spirit of pornography, a spirit of stupidity, a spirit of all the rest. Got this kid. So I stepped up to him boldly, humbled before the poor boy, caring about him, loving the kid. But mad as this man can get against Satan. He stole that boy's dignity. Stole his innocence. Stealing his future. Stealing his God assignment. And I'm mad. I put my hand behind that kid's neck. And he started speaking a digital language to me. And I recognized what it was. And I put my hand on his vocal cords. And I shook him and I said, Satan! Come out of him! There was a man standing next to me that had been tracking us through various conferences. He told the crowd later, I felt that demon move between David and I. I felt him. There was a physical entity that moved through time, space, and matter, leaving that boy, finding its way out of that place. All because in the name of Jesus, I grabbed that kid by the vocal cords. And I didn't give that demon chance to respond. I don't play with demons. I don't want to know about them. I know all I need to know from Revelation and the Word of God. I fought my own battles. I've been with others that have fought their battles. I don't want to know his name. I don't want to know his specific specialty. I want him dismissed back to where he came from. And we saw that boy delivered. He went limp. And I saw a smile for the first time. I asked the musicians to go back to worship. I know where the energy comes from. I know where my energy comes from. I felt depleted. I felt like I'd carried a trailer load of lasers up 3 flights of steps. I felt my age. I knew some energy had gone out of me. I said, worship. I know how to charge my battery. You know what I'm talking about. Ministry is represented here. You get in a tough spot. Don't go there if you haven't got some God music behind you someplace. It's easy to do. Earphones and an MP3 player. $90. You can carry this God music wherever you go. And I don't say this to embarrass or put these musicians on the spot. But if every worship service of yours isn't captured, you're making a mistake. Every worship service captured. They'll never be two alike. See, you don't record the anointing. Phil Driscoll and I figured that out. Highly anointed trumpeter. Highly anointed psalmist. You can't record that upper bandwidth above the speed of light. Our frequencies don't get there. He shows up live every time. Holy Spirit shows up wherever that stuff's played. You got a problem in somebody, with somebody's home? Slip them some anointed psalmist, the real deal. And don't pray for him. Oh, you got to pray for him. But you don't have to have prayer there. You don't have to have deliverance there. You let the Holy Spirit work the work of music. And the worship will cause the praises of God to inhabit that acoustics of that room. Hang on. That hospital bed. You got somebody going through some kind of travail in a hospital someplace? Go on into Walmart. Get an MP3 player. Have any 16-year-old kid take you to a God site. Oh, that intimidated some of you real big. If you don't know how to get to a God site, Figure it out quick. Because that'll be in your assignment from here forward. You're going to be responsible for what you've heard me say. I'm just being blunt. When the Holy Spirit comes back and said, I need God music, and you don't know what to do about it, don't call me. I gave you the answer today. Find that 16-year-old kid and take him to Ray Hughes' God site. Yeah, we got him all over the place. You got him all over your life. Isn't God good? Walmart's full of $80, $90 MP3 players. Go get one. Learn how to speak up to Selah, portalprojector.org. Leave your prayer. I'll download it and it'll go on I-35. I'll load it in a rock and leave it on I-35. Woo! I've even taken Driscoll Records and pounded them in the ground. Because I know wherever that is, even if it's not played back, God's going to be there. Because that matter had memory. I'm not talking about demodulating the zeros and the ones. It's all it is zeros and ones. You didn't know that. Well, you take a CD record, or an album, the disc, you peel that string off, and it's 3 miles long. 3 miles string. Nothing's on the string except dots and dashes, places where there's a pit or no pit. That's all it is. Pits and no pits. They take an analog signal and they slice it 44,000 times. Where the voltage was at 0000001. 0000000. I'm talking about the picture of sound on an oscilloscope. 0000000001. 0000001. And where all the ones are is a picture of the analog sound. Now you got this big long string of zeros and ones. Lots of zeros, not very many ones. So then they count the zeros. If there's 100, they put 2 ones. And the machine knows that where there's an extra one, you add 100 zeros. That's called compression. Well, I know you don't need to learn that, so I won't go there. I thought for a moment I was back at Cornell. You guys understood that. And if you slice it quick enough, you get enough information that a violin could sound like a real violin. The problem with the violins we record and that come out of these samplers is that they've left some of the information out because they only sliced it 44,000 times. Absence of signal is digital noise. Spiritually, your noise comes from the absence of signal. Oh, you didn't get it. He did. You can't have an absence of signal in your life. You need a continuous, constant signal. That's where the glory is. That's where the power is. You want to know why you don't see miracles when you pray? I'll ask you, what's the bandwidth of your signal? It's all signal to noise. That's all there is. And how much noise is coming out of you, how much signal is coming out of God. Where there's an absence of God's signal, you have your noise. And if that's too heavy for you, I won't even ask for forgiveness. Some of you got to get that. You're looking for power and you're generating noise. Get rid of the noise and the power is already there. You don't conjure anything. You say it in Jesus' name, He shows up 100 out of 100 times. He's not waiting for you to go through some ritual. You don't need a ritual. He's sending His signal. His ability to heal is in every prayer. Or it's at every prayer site. And if you're full of noise and you don't get your answer, don't blame me. Don't blame that pastor. You just start doing some self-measurement. Figure out what your input is. If your input isn't worship music, start there. What you're listening to, you are. At the lunch table a little while ago, Becky and I had two little packages. We opened them up. It's a food supplement. But it knows, and the company that makes that stuff knows, that there's an unseen realm. So right on the package they print, somebody read it at the table. Say it loud. Somebody read it. Peace. Strength, honor, peace, love, authority of God. Printed on the package. They've talked to the package. They know what Emoto knows. They know what happens to the rice on the pipes that the stuff flows through at the... And when I heard this about this little company up in Minnesota, you know, I don't look like a skeptic. And I don't look very negative. But when somebody says something, I fully expect it to be verifiable. When I talk to you about science, I'm prepared to show you where I got that information. Some of you have been finding some of it. I got a trailer with more of those boxes in it. Not because somebody's going to ask me, but because I keep rereading it. I find about the third time I read one of those books, my bandwidth goes up. The Holy Spirit shows me some more. It happens with the Word of God. That's the most important information. And I heard about this company that was putting a frequency on distilled water. And then they load it up with all these food supplements that's the real thing, chopped up by lasers. Ooh, that turned me on. I hadn't found that patent. I wish I'd thought about that. So I'm just a little bit questionable, a little bit jealous that somebody got ahead of me with a laser. Not really. So I go to Minnesota. I show up at one of their activities, and they got a guy standing off stage. We're still talking about matter having memory, by the way. And there's a doctor there, and he was then wheeled in a wheelchair, and there's a wife standing next to him, and he can barely stand up. They hand him two canes, and he comes up on the stage at a meeting for this little company. And a doctor's standing there with a stack of reports. This man had had cancer of the stomach and the esophagus. They told him it was incurable. They'd opened him up. And they sewed him up, cancer included. They said, you can't survive this. It's spread throughout your body. You're going to die. And his wife refused that. She rejected that. And somebody had handed her this food supplement. Said, try it. She takes it to the doctors, and the doctor says, well, the Cancer Society hasn't approved this. This stuff will cancel your insurance. Now we know the insurance companies are involved. Drug companies don't want something showing up that their people don't admit. Talking about the Cancer Society. We got more cancer now than we've ever had. They've spent trillions of dollars using the wrong gun, the wrong tool, blasting the body, killing millions of cells to get to the few that are on the wrong frequency. So the car burns oil and they're changing the tires. You know the story. So the doctors won't put this in his feeding tube that's in his stomach, and he's going to die within weeks. So she puts it in a spray bottle, food supplement. It's got water that's been spoken to. It got the coils on the wires, on the pipes. Nobody in there that's not a spirit-led Christian. Engineers love God. The owners love God. A couple of twin young men. One's a pharmacist and one's a doctor. Boy, have they got something to say about chemicals. She sprays this on his wound all night long. And in the name of Jesus, she's praying for her dying husband. 3 days later, the doctor comes in to check him, and he's got some new color. His eyes are clearing up. He's been able to talk a little bit. And they hear a gurgling going on in his intestines. His body is waking up. Cancer frequencies, wrong, errant, killing him. Something is going on right about this stuff that she's spraying on his chest, on his esophagus. Within a week, the doctors are so amazed, they have a conference. And the nurses said, well, she's doing something in there. Some kind of a ritual's going on every night. She tells the truth. I'm spraying this stuff on my dying husband, and he's going home today. They took him off all the junk that he was hooked up to. She had some homeopathic hospice person who didn't believe he was going to die. Most of them come in with a predetermined end, and I love hospice, okay? Any hospice people in here, I care about what you do. I just wish you could get your responsibility right. You can speak life. You can speak hope. Some of you do. Thank you. I honor you. Hospice understands that he doesn't have to die. And 6 weeks later, invite him to come to the conference at the factory that I happen to be in the front row. I see this teetering guy. I've had my new heart. So I know all about this stuff. Not the chemical, not this, it's not a chemical, not this food supplement. I was learning about it, trying to verify, do they really talk to this thing? Do they really put a charge on it? Is this stuff cut with lasers? Does this stuff sell ready? See, I'm wise enough. I'm not really smart, but I'm wise a little bit. I know that my body is going to build itself out of what I ate today. If I got trillions of cells in my body, and they're going to take what I feed it, what I breathe in, the water I drink, the bananas that I eat. There'll be another banana in my pocket tomorrow. Becky slips me bananas and splits. And once in a while I get a little chocolate on it. He comes out to the stage. He looks at the doctor, who knows he's been transformed from death to life. And he says, I've taken nothing but prayer in this food supplement. The food supplement talked to the body, and the prayer caused the healing. He had it absolutely right. And it stirred that whole place. And I'm not here to try to tell you you need to take this stuff. I don't do that. It's available. It's called Vibe. V-I-B-E. Go look it up. Google it. They talk to it. It's the food your body needs to build itself. I got muscles that no 67-year-old should have. Thank God. I recommend it. I'm not trying to sell you anything. Prayer did the job. Take care of that body. I keep bumping into that speaker. You'd think I'd be smart enough to know it's there. All right, let's see if we can wrap this thing up. My hour's gone. Seeing your future as God sees it is quantum faith. We've talked about that over and over and over and over. If you don't see your future, you're in trouble. You get the future somebody else sees. If you don't pop your quiff, call your future to be, you got an employer that's going to do it. You got a government that's going to do it. You got a pastor that's going to call forth something from his people. May he be a man of God of quantum faith. May he be careful what he sees and what he says, and I know he is. I met some of the troops that's in that army. That man's been blessed. You're going to leave here and God's going to show you something you've never seen before. Say, David, are you saying that prophetically? I surely am. You don't come to one of these, leave the same. Holy Spirit shows up. Else when teaching where yesterday went and tomorrow comes from is an important idea. It's an important set of frequencies. If you don't have the product, I don't ask you to buy it so that we benefit from the money. I ask you to buy it because you benefit from the ideas. If you have a set for you, buy a set for somebody else. That's not a marketing trick. If I wanted to market it, all I'd have to do is change a few of my attitudes and I'd be a new age guru. But I can't go there. I have to call sin, sin. I have to say Jesus is the Savior. You got a problem before God. You're the bride of Christ. Well, start acting like it. May I have the authority of Christ released in me through what I say and what I see. Else when is not a clever idea. Else when is the activity that you can enter every day to know your assignment and know this is true. You have to know that else when teaching is where yesterday went, tomorrow comes from. It will transform your life, your family, your workplace, and your community. Shall we pray? Father, we love you. Thank you for your precious spirit that's in this room. Thank you for the awesome leadership of this conference, the awesome music that's displayed. Thank you for the hours of preparing that these worship leaders have gone to. Thank you for the gift of the psalmist that's alive and well in these young men. Thank you for the vision you've birthed in this whole team. Thank you for the desire that's in every person that came. May I have the wisdom to give them exactly what they need, Lord. And I can't do it alone without your strength. So fill in the blanks, Father. Other activities coming up. Bless them highly. In Jesus' name we pray. Fill every need. Fill every desire. Fill every vacuum. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Woo! Wasn't this fun?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching. If you'd like to order additional copies, or if you'd like to view the many other prophetic resources available at the Elijah List, such as the quarterly magazine Elijah Rain, music CDs or MP3 downloads, or to view our great selection of books and gifts, simply log on to our website, ElijahList.com, or call toll-free 866-ELIJAH-LIST. That's 866-354-5245. Outside the U.S., call 541-926-3250. And join us again for another inspiring teaching from the Elijah List.